It's hard to decide how to approach the Dalai Lama, particularly at 6 o'clock in the morning when you're both waiting for the same flight at a Siberian airport. He's fairly unmistakable as he sits in his flimsy red robes and incongruously sensible black shoes. So anything like, "I'm Tim Huel, you must be the Dalai Lama," would clearly sound absurd. How forward can you be with a living god? But on the other hand, how long can you hover silently in front of someone who's already looking quizzically at you? In the end, I went for the direct approach and was greeted not only with a disarming grin, but also a firm squeeze on the arm. His Holiness remembers faces, and over the next few days, as he sat enthroned at interminable ceremonies, we exchanged several more grins over the heads of the intervening monks and officials. It was the Dalai Lama's first trip to Tuva, a wild track of mountains and steppe on the northern fringes of Mongolia. For the Tuvans, it was the first visit by a foreign statesman since Genghis Khan passed by in 1207. Stalin, Brezhnev and Gorbachev all avoided Tuva. Yeltsin has never been there. And yet, until the Second World War, the country was an independent state. In the tiny capital, Kazil, you can see the white columned building that once housed the Soviet legation, and the former parliament where Tuva's communist deputies voted in 1944 to request admission into the USSR. But apart from the commemorative plaques on those buildings, virtually the only other trace of the country's lost independence are the triangular Tuvan stamps preserved in schoolboys' albums all over the world. The memory of those stamps with the exotic name and the pictures of camel and yak herders inspired the Nobel Prize-winning American physicist Richard Feynman to embark on a 10-year struggle with Soviet bureaucracy in an attempt to reach Tuva, then a region closed to foreigners. Feynman died of cancer just before an invitation finally arrived from the Soviet Academy of Sciences, but his friend Ralph Layton did get to Kazil and wrote a moving and funny book, Tuva or Bust, about their joint quest to rediscover the mysterious, forgotten country. It's a measure of Tuva's continuing isolation that even now few people there have heard of Feynman or Layton, and some of those that have got the story a bit mixed up. One told me the American physicist had been unable to reach Tuva because he wasn't allowed out of his own country. Another said Feynman's chief aim had been to stick a pole in the ground in the geographic center of every continent, and he was frustrated because he had already done them all except the center of Asia, which is in Kazil. Tuvans seem to regard their location at the center of Asia as their chief claim to fame. One local businessman told me of his plans to set up an association uniting the centers of each continent, which he said could become an important international trade network. When I suggested that the centers of some continents, such as Africa and South America, were mainly jungle, he pulled out Tuva's other joker, its peculiar tradition of throat singing. The art, developed by shepherds on lonely hillsides, involves one singer producing two notes simultaneously. One can be a low, prolonged rattle, and another a piercing whistle. Tuvan officials hope that throat singing concerts in the West can become a major source of hard currency for their country. Already, several groups have made successful foreign tours, and when people talked about Britain, the place they seemed to know most about was Langoliin. Langoliin? It took me a while to work out that they meant Llangollen, the North Wales town which every year hosts an international musical Eisteddfod. Not surprisingly, it's famous in Tuva, and when I visited people's homes, they proudly brought out battered copies of the local newspaper, the Shropshire Star, and its special Eisteddfod supplement, not to be sold separately, with pictures of throat singers on the front. With a degree of self-confidence that would have been unthinkable in most Soviet citizens a few years ago, the Tuvan group that visited Llangollen this year deliberately missed their return flight to Moscow and went busking on the streets of Manchester. They caused a minor sensation in the suburban shopping centre of Chorlton cum Hardy and were soon being interviewed by local commercial television. All a long way from the high pastures around Kazil, where the singer's parents or grandparents moved their round felt tents or yurts from season to season. In fact, a surprising number of Tuvans still lead nomadic lives, and one evening, just outside the capital, I was welcomed into a yurt by an old woman and her son, who immediately began apologizing that since they had no torch or electric light, it was already too dark to kill a sheep for me. They did, however, offer traditional Tuvan tea, brewed with salt, and a strong spirit distilled while I waited from a boiling cauldron of sour milk. Down on the main square of Kavil, the Dalai Lama had been sitting through hours of prayers and speeches. As a Buddhist monk, he avoids alcohol, even milk vodka. But his smile at the end of a grueling day was as boyish and mischievous as ever.